A message to Iran. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News, from President Trump, who told Fox's Maria Bartiromo for her Fox Sunday Morning Future show he's hoping to avoid going to war, but has concerns about Iran's advancing nuclear technology, fear to be potentially building weapons.
I hope that Iran, and I've written him a letter saying, I hope you're going to negotiate, because if we have to go in militarily, it's going to be a terrible thing for them.
The president's also making a threat to a different adversary. On Truth Social, after another overnight barrage of Russian drones and missiles on Ukraine, he wrote, since Russia's absolutely pounding Ukraine on the battlefield, he's strongly considering large-scale banking sanctions and tariffs on Russia until there's a ceasefire and peace agreement. Now, this comes a week after the contentious meeting at the White House between the president and Ukraine's leader Volodymyr Zelensky. U.S. Middle East envoy Steve Witkoff says he could return.
The president has said that there's a path back, and President Zelensky has demonstrated that he's intent on that good faith path back. He's apologized. He said he's grateful. He said that he wants to work towards peace.
Next Tuesday, Witkoff and Secretary of State Marco Rubio will hold talks in Saudi Arabia with Ukrainian leaders. In an hour in Florida, the man accused of the second Trump assassination attempt has a hearing. Fox's Dana Marie McNichol outside the court in Fort Pierce.
Ryan Ruth was spotted with an assault rifle waiting 12 hours along that fence line of Trump International Golf Course last September. Law enforcement arrested him after he fled the scene. And now President Trump is looking for answers specifically about why Ruth had so many cell phones when he was arrested.
The second one, he had six cell phones. That's a lot of cell phones.
We got this update to the economy this morning.
Job growth improved in February from January. 151,000 new positions were created, compared with the revised reading of 125,000.
That's Fox's Jenny Casola. The unemployment rate rose a tenth to 4.1%. America's listening to Fox News.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. I care deeply about creating a world we can all fully participate in, free from stigma, misperceptions, and barriers. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Rooted in communities nationwide, Easter Seals helps empower millions of people, regardless of age or disability, through its life-changing services and powerful advocacy. Today and every day, Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
Good morning and happy Friday from the News 11 Information Desk. I'm Scott Gross. Day four in the trial of 20-year-old Jose Lopez. He's tied to a Yuma house party mass shooting that killed two people in May of 2023. The forensic and neuropathologists, defense, and prosecution teams all spoke about autopsy photos to the jury. The photos were of the two victims killed in the shooting. Lopez is facing two counts of first-degree murder and five counts of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. San Luis, Arizona will not pursue a property tax for city residents. Mayor Nieves Riedel says the community doesn't want it, and the cost of holding a special election to ask voters to approve it doesn't make sense. And Midnight at the Oasis is officially underway. The classic car show continues tonight, Saturday, and Sunday at Desert Sun Stadium. Join us on the TV side for News 11 every weekday at 5, 6, and 10 for all your local news, weather, and sports. I'm Scott Gross.
Sunshine and 67 on Friday, 46 on Friday night, 15-mile-per-hour winds. Your weekend weather, 73 and sunny on Saturday, 15-mile-per-hour winds again, 46 Saturday night. Less windy on Sunday, sunny and 78.
Investment advisory services offered through CWM, LLC, and SEC Registered Investment Advisor. Welcome to Money Talk with Yuma Investment Group's Tom Rush, founder, wealth advisor, and George Davis Sr. Wealth Advisor.
Thank you. Good morning, Yuma. Money Talk AM 560 KBLU. George Davis Sr. here this morning. Hope everybody's having a great day. Happy Friday out there. A little weather looking like Tom's kind of enjoyable, but Mato's going to be a little chilly today.
Yeah, that was some great startup music to get us started on. I really like that.
I know what that was. I thought it was a funeral march or something.
Yeah, I was like, hey,
man, keep that coming. I like it.
What show are we on here? I think that was just the buildup. If you'd let it play, it would have been really going for it. So.
Anyways, this is Money Talk with Tom Rush, George Davis, Yuma and Imperial Valley Wealth Management, new name.
Yeah.
And we're in here to talk about what's going on in different financial areas. But let's get back to Mato, because I think that's a big deal and a big part of Yuma. Looks. I'm excited to see all that. I mean, today looks a little rough, but I think it's going to get better, right? Friday, Saturday, or Saturday, Sunday should be sunnier, maybe.
I hope so.
Yeah. So I got some concerts going tonight, I believe.
Yeah. Journey.
I think it's $30 to get in for the concert.
Hmm.
Yeah. So
good for the economy. Money Talk here, Tom. It's a good influx for a lot of people coming into town, spending money for Yuma, and
a lot of outsiders that are staying in hotels, eating at restaurants.
Hotels, restaurants. Yeah, I guess downtown yesterday or last night there was they have an initial kickoff on Main Street, and it was packed, I hear. So
yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty neat.
Well, let's talk money here, George. What do you want to talk about first?
Well, I want to talk a little bit about the news and kind of what's going on. One thing I don't understand, I got a question for you and Russ. Hi, Russ. How are you doing today?
Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Yeah. So if I'm the media, I don't care which media you're in, CNN or whoever.
Yeah.
Aren't you happy right now? Because there's actually a lot of news and stuff to report. I mean, it's never a dull moment right now. And I'm pretty pumped up, but they still don't like what's going on. And they complain, but I'd be like, yeah, this is great. Well, I would think that a lot more people are watching the news right now.
Well, yeah. What I like about it is almost every day Trump does a recap of like what he's signing or what he changed.
Mm-hmm. Every hour.
Because, the other administration, we didn't hear anything really.
We didn't hear.
So I think the communication line is really open and there's a lot of things happening.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of future dates. Like they're talking about, April 2nd, they're going to kick in some more tariffs on things. The only thing that's not frustrating, but I think the market has like a good day, bad day, is he keeps moving the timeline on these tariffs.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do it tomorrow.
During the market open.
Next week, and then we're going to postpone it. So I don't know if the market likes that. A tariff is, indirectly, it's a tax, right? I mean, it's going to cause prices to go up. And there's not a doubt about it.
Okay.
But the benefit would be is some of the arrangements he's doing is making it so that if it's made in the United States, there's no tariff. So we should have more of a competitive edge of making products than the competitors. And what a lot of people don't understand either is it's not a fair playing ground. Like India might charge us a 15% tariff and we charge them 5%. So he's saying reciprocal, which means whatever you charge us, we're going to charge you. If you want to make it zero, we'll make it zero. You want to make it five, we'll make it five. You want to,
Mm-hmm.
And then, China said, well, we're going to increase ours by 10% above what we're doing to them. And he's like, well, that's fine. We'll just increase it by that also.
Yeah.
It's actually a smart move because he's letting them kind of hang themselves. And if you want to make a 50% tariff, then we'll match it.
Right. That's
so
true.
I mean, but so short term, I think the market and the economy is going to be choppy because there's a lot of unknown with the tariffs. But I think eventually, and I'm talking like, maybe 9 to 18 months from now, things should be in a better position, assuming that there's some negotiation on the tariffs, mm-hmm. right? Because I think what he's hoping for is that nothing happens with the tariffs, but we just get our tariffs down. I mean, I think that's his end game.
Uh-huh.
But if it turns into a flat out button heads, then it could put us into a recession. The question is how will these tariffs play out? Are they going to be very short term, like Canada and Mexico?
Well, Mexico's on pause right now.
Yeah, but once the tariffs come in, which I'm assuming they will because they keep saying they will, then, Canada and Mexico might negotiate within 30 days. They might come to agreement.
Oh, yeah.
Then
yeah.
It's not a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But if they dig their heels in on both sides and this lasts for, 2 years, then it could cause some problems.
I think Trudeau has shown all signs of not cooperating for some time. He's wanting to tariff us right back and all that.
Yeah, but then you also hear, too, that they're trying to kick him out. So I'm sure there's going to be a second person stepping up saying, hey, let's get rid of this guy and I can make it better.
They booed us at a hockey game, though, so the Canadians are not happy with us.
Yeah, but we did the same back to them, right, in Boston,
yeah,
I think?
Well, that's Boston.
it wasn't only a boo. They started fighting right when the puck dropped, right? That's, you see that?
Yeah, 9 seconds. It took three fights to break out within 9 seconds.
And I think that's good for hockey.
Yeah, I think so.
They should start out every game that way.
The Hanson brothers.
Yeah. But the one thing about the tariffs that I see interesting, Tom, it's not just a blanket. Everyone thinks, oh, he just blanket tariffs and says 25%. They're somewhat strategic. Like Canada Energy, he only has 10%.
Right.
Not 25.
Yeah.
Because he knows that that is a valuable deal for us. For us bringing
in. But some
of
the tariffs against us, though, they've got like 100% on things, on
certain
products.
They said Canada has 250% on dairy products.
Yeah. Like, they just don't want us to import dairy at all.
Yeah, so.
And then they complain that we have 25 on them.
Yeah. But I think over time, whoever did the negotiation on tariffs probably, you know, maybe gave up too much. So I think he's just trying to bring it back to, like, some kind of, you know, level playing field, or at least bring it down some. But
more equal, which you can't blame him for that. One of the main things, too, is the fentanyl and the, you know, the
shutting the border down,
immigrants coming in. He wants help up north and south to, instead of having the people get to our border and just us dealing with it. He wants them to at least pre-screen.
Once they cross our border, we throw a ton of money at it. So by keeping them on the other side of the border, that's their problem, not our problem. Mm-hmm. Which
they should be interested in keeping people out of their own country.
So it sounds like you're pretty positive towards what's going on, George.
I am, but you know, it's transparency, and you brought up a great point because. In our business, being fiduciaries, we're very transparent now when it comes to our fees and having the client's interest first. He's being transparent. You can't blame him. You know, he's keeping the public in knowledge.
You might not like what he has
about,
to say, but he's telling you
he's
his
telling
thoughts.
He's telling you what he's doing. He told you what he was going to do while he was, you know, in
election.
Asking for election. Yeah. So whether you like it or not, at least he's doing what he said he was going to do, and he's keeping us informed.
Yeah.
So, you know, those are good things.
Well, it'd be a big deal for Europe if they can stop, you know, the Ukraine war, because I think Europe will take off too.
And that's a lot of money, isn't it, that we throw at that?
Well,
everyone
I think
throws
everyone
at
throws
it.
At it. But, and then the rebuilding, you know, whenever there's like a hurricane that takes out a city in Florida, you know, people say, oh, it's a hurricane. That's terrible. Well, if you look at the GDP numbers after a hurricane, there's so much rebuilding that there's a lot of growth, and that's going to be the same with war. So if they can stop that war, you watch the rebuilding of all those cities that got demolished. Same with Gaza, right? That got demolished. So there should be a lot of spending going on, which is good for GDP.
Who's going to invest in Gaza right now?
Trump said he would.
Well, after he gets control militarily, maybe.
Hey, but
Tom already bought a little parcel on the water.
Did you own a lot over there?
I love a little flat. Hey, but you know what? It could have been a genius idea for him to say he would rebuild that. Because did you see what happened right after?
No.
Two countries stepped up to rebuild.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, I think one was Jordan and one was some other. So they, you know, he got someone to commit, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, but
they don't want us over there, so we're thinking, well, if it's a good idea, it's ours.
You know, my theory is people don't like to fight and kill themselves unless they feel they have to. And if the economy is going to stays decent over there, then I think a lot of people will learn peace, because it's everyone's doing okay. Kids going to school, there's food on the table. And not. I know there's a religious thing on top of that, but I just in general.
I hope you're right.
When people aren't starving or beat up, that's when they want to, you know, fight. So, but let's get back to money, George.
One other thing I wanted to mention: some of the things he does are, you know, pretty. I mean, you look at them; they're pretty smart. Having that presence, the mineral rights, or having the mineral extraction in Ukraine, and us having it, actually U.S. people working there.
Right,
and that's a big deterrent.
It will be, and then for Putin, it's not like we're putting, you know,
military
in there.
But
we're putting workers in there and miners.
Yeah. He's like, he's not going to mess with that.
And
I'm
I think
sure
you should
think so.
You should go over and mine.
I'm going to.
Yeah, I think so.
Hey, Tom, you mentioned GDP. I think that's kind of interesting. The Atlanta Fed forecast, I don't know if you noticed,
was
2.6%.
But one was
almost
minus.
Went down 5 to negative 2.3. That's a huge move. You know, in their projection, they're thinking that consumer spending is going to be flat, 0% on the GDP. And
I think they measure different GDP numbers. Like the Fed has like different cities of the Fed come out with their number.
Uh-huh.
So I think that number was off.
It's Atlanta. It's an Atlanta GDP number.
Yeah,
it's,
yeah.
But
so
it's yeah, quite a bit. I heard it on the Facts versus Feelings. So a lot of people listen to it.
Yeah,
and look at it. There's
so what,
just, so that what, was interesting. That
so what does that mean
so
to
much.
The listeners? What do you? What I mean, you made
well,
that comment.
Well, a lot of the, a lot of the projection right now is: are we going to have a recession? And you named it. And the recession is 2 quarters of a negative GDP consecutive.
Yeah.
So if that GDP is going to be negative,
But the thing that's going to counterbalance a lot of this is Apple's bringing in $500 billion of building. Taiwan Semiconductors, an extra $100 billion. They're already building out in Phoenix heavy. So there's companies that are bringing in, like Japanese guy who owns SoftBank committed like $250 billion or something. Mm-hmm. So that's going to counterbalance some. I know jobs came out this morning. Do you see that number?
I haven't seen the jobs.
It came in at a positive 150,000, which they thought was kind of light.
Oh.
But that could be a good thing because last time the Fed wasn't going to lower rates because they thought inflation was too high. Well, having weaker job numbers should help maybe convince the Fed to lower rates.
Yeah.
So,
are they thinking that that's not going to include the stuff going on with Doge and that'll be the next report?
Well, I just read the number. I didn't give detail on why, but
okay.
They try to get jobs to be up 250 or higher per month. That's kind of the goal.
Mm-hmm.
So it's 150, so it's a little light. But that could be. I mean, I don't know if they're that quick to lay off government employees. Maybe they are. I don't know.
Yeah.
But the other thing about GDP is they're predicting about 2.4% for 25. Did you hear that number?
Yeah,
I did. Positive.
Mm-hmm.
So, but they're also predicting that if they can cut some government fat, job or even jobs and whatever government has, contracts or that, then they might add an extra 1% to the GDP number.
Huh.
So then you're up above 3 again, which makes it. And anything above 3 is a pretty healthy economy.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think it can. It's kind of like a card game. You know, you bluff someone out. It's great if it works, but if it doesn't work, then you lose your hand. Mm-hmm. So I think what Trump's doing is with the tariffs and all that. If it plays out long term, I think it's going to not be good for the economy and the recession. But if they can settle things within, 3 months, give or take, then I think. Then I think things would be okay. But what you really want to do with your money, and we'll talk about this because we're taking a break, is what options you have if you think it's going to get good or better. I mean, people actually called in the last week like, things are going to get worse, tariffs, things, get better. So we have a strategy that we can use when we get back. But this is Money Talk, 5-6 a.m.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they believe they manage money for their clients differently from many other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. Visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com and find out why investors switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk again. Tom Ruetsch, George Davis, Yuma and Imperial Valley Wealth Management. I don't think we updated our commercials yet on here, have we?
No,
yeah,
not to my knowledge.
We need to do that, George.
Mm-hmm.
Take a
Did
memo.
Did you talk much about the new office over in El Centro and Imperial Valley already?
I'll let you talk about it again, George. Go ahead.
Well, some of our listeners may not know, but we're adding an office, a wealth management office over there on Main Street in El Centro.
Yep.
Ironically, right across from Wells Fargo again.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, it's on Main Street next to the City Hall and the county office. It's police station, next to the police station.
Right there by the police station, too.
Yeah. So
we do that for a reason.
Yeah. So by doing that, we decided it would be probably the right thing to do is to change our name to Yuma and Imperial Valley Wealth Management, mm-hmm. just to include everybody.
Yeah.
Inclusion, that's good, right, George?
That is good. Plus, you know, there's, I don't know how much service they're getting over there as far as managing assets and financial planning. So I think it's a great,
you notice
great for us and for the clients.
Yeah. You notice we didn't say El Centro, it's Imperial Valley.
Imperial Valley.
Which is a bigger circle.
Yeah.
That's my idea, George.
Imperial Valley. I like the name of that, too. It sounds like Imperial Valley. I want to go there, you know. Where
sounds like a dreamland.
But you and I in the past have done seminars and some, you know, business over there and advertising in Imperial Valley. So now we're stepping up and putting in an office. So
well, we had quite a few clients that come over from there, especially the Water District.
Water District.
And yeah. it's an hour drive here and an hour drive back. So that's 2 hours, and no one likes to spend 2 hours driving, I don't think. Mm-hmm. So anyways, hopefully we do an office over there, and that can take up some of that slack.
Yeah.
So, but anyways, I've gotten a couple calls where people are like, look, I don't think it's going to get any better. This whole thing's going to correct. Like, you know, I want out scenario. And you always get people that do that. Even the ones that seem pretty stable at some point, if they have a bad day or something, they want to, you know, hit the panic button. So what I've learned in my 30 years of doing this is you can backtrack kind of what you're doing and get safer, but I think you make a huge problem by just getting out, because either you're right or you're wrong, and it's almost like flipping a coin. I mean, it could be in your favor, it could not be in your favor, but if you're wrong, then you sit there and make no money in a money market account, and then as things start going back up, you grind your teeth saying, I need to get in, and eventually you will get back in. And more times than not, you get back in at a higher price.
Yep.
So my thought is, you know, I don't know, whatever ratio someone has, let's just say someone's 80% equity, 20% bonds. Okay, well, maybe scale that back to 60-40, 60 equity, 40 bonds. Or even if you want to go deeper, go 40-60 the other way. But don't make the move of just jumping off the cliff, because it could be, you know, more times than not, it doesn't work out. Because if you think about it, you got to be right twice. You got to know when to get out, but then you also have to know when to get back in. And I've had people do this. You know, like one client I can think of had intuition, wanted to get out before the 08 downturn, and she timed it perfectly, and she got out. But then she didn't have the guts to get back in, and she rode it from like 08 to like 2015, and like literally it didn't help her at all. Because you gotta be right twice. Mm-hmm. So, I'd rather someone scale it back a little bit than to just hit the panic button.
It's difficult enough to be right even once.
But what's funny though is like in when we had the COVID scare, the market dropped 50%. It dropped the S&P. So guess how much the S&P is down right now from the high.
It's down about 7%.
I think it's like 5 or 6%.
Yeah.
So the point is, we haven't started a correction, and people are already starting to hit the button. Mm-hmm. But you know why that is? The politics of it.
Politics and the news. And,
I mean, you know, what's tariffs? That sounds, you know, scary and all that. And they even said, like, I was listening to a podcast, and they said, you know, if truck prices could go up, like, I don't know, $15,000, and cars might go up another, you know, $9,000. So, I mean, that scares people, and maybe they're right. Maybe prices will go up. I don't know, but I think people hear all that, and then they want to you know, take action.
Mm-hmm.
So
a couple things, Tom. You were talking about advance and protect. You know, I know a couple, 3-4 months ago, the market's doing well, and that's one of the strategies that we would implement at Yuma and Imperial Valley Wealth Management. We tell our clients, look, the market's doing real well, and it looks like things are going to continue to do well. Well, I don't want to, you know, take profits off the table when things are going well, but that's the time to do it.
Yeah.
So if you did some advance and protect and took some of those gains off of the equities market and put them off to the side, you call it dry powder, if you will. Now you got an opportunity to put some of that back to work. So instead of running from the storm, you're heading towards it and being proactive where, you know, advance and protect earlier in the year is really going to be beneficial right now.
When you break it all down on how to make money, it's buy low, sell high, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's how simple of it. Well, in order to buy low, you have to have money to do that or a position to do it. And I call that bullets in the gun, or you said dry powder.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't have the dry powder when it comes time to buy, then, you know, unless you can stroke a check out of your bank, which a lot of people can't, it's not going to happen no matter how much you want to buy low. So what you're saying is, say you have $100,000 in a growth fund. Last year was up, you know, 25%, give or take. And if you took that 25% and put it somewhere safer,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not talking money market either. It could be a money market, but it could be something that's just safer. Maybe, you know, 70% bonds or something, 20%, 30% equity. And then if we're wrong and 25 is another great year where it goes up 15 or 20%, then you still made good money on that.
Sure. But
if you took that gain, banked it to the side, eventually you're going to be right, because when this market drops,
mm-hmm.
when this market drops, you're going to have a lot of dry bullets or dry powder, whatever you want to call it, so you can become a buyer.
Yeah.
And that's where the true money's made, by buying in down markets. I mean, to simplify it.
Especially when you have a bull market like the duration we've had, a couple of years, people forget about these downturns. On average, every year, every 1.1 years, but it's every year I call it, there's a 10% downturn in the S&P.
Yeah.
Just historically, that's how it works. We haven't had one for...
Well, in July of last year, we went down to almost 9%.
Almost 9, yeah.
But what that's saying is about every 13 months, give or take, that's some type of pullback, whether, you know, 8 to 10%, just mm-hmm. because... Now, in July, if you remember, the reasoning was they thought the treasury market in Japan was all out of whack.
And then it wasn't
as bad as they thought, but that's what caused that downturn.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're patient, and I'm not even talking about a recession, because a definition of a recession is two negative quarters of GDP. And we had in 22 was a recession. Well, the last time we had a recession from 22 was actually 2000, I believe it was 13 or 11. Do you remember what year?
Yeah.
It was far 12. Back. It was,
yeah,
it was
13.
Yeah, it was far back. So the point is like, yeah, I don't think you necessarily have to wait around for the big recession, because sometimes they don't come around for, you know, 4 to 7 years, eight years.
You don't know it's a recession until after the fact, too.
But I do think with markets going up and down, you could even take some of that dry ammo, and if market drops 10, 12%, slide some in, wait mm-hmm. for recovery, and then slide some back out.
Yeah.
But that's paying attention to things. And if... I think the typical American, that 401k, they don't pay as much attention.
Mm-hmm.
But there's things that can be done. Just don't hit the complete panic button, because if you're on the wrong side and you're wrong on your choice of getting out, then you're painful getting back in at a higher mm-hmm. level.
But right now, one of the biggest advantage of if you do have a 401k or IRA or Roth, you dollar cost average in during volatile times, which is now. That's a big advantage. You're putting money to work like every month or every paycheck. So when things are down like this, you're getting more bang for your buck. So you're getting more reward and saving for retirement. And at this point in time, in our office at least, we're getting, you know, new money comes in, bring in some cash, and it's prudent to dollar cost average over the next 4 months during this uncertainty. Maybe you're right, maybe you're wrong, but historically dollar cost average shows, you know, you'll get longer term better returns.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I just had a client call in, and, you know, she's putting money in every month to her Roth IRA, and she was like, "Well, with what's going on and things are going to get ugly, I'm going to stop my contribution monthly." And I'm like, "Okay, well, let's think about that."
Mm-hmm.
So if you think the market's going to go down, I don't know if you think it's going to go down 10%, 20%, 30%, 40%, 50%, I don't know, but why would we stop that? Because that's going to actually be buying in on a down market.
Yeah.
And then she's like, "Oh yeah, I never thought of it that way." So a lot of times it's just a matter of walking people through a little bit of common sense.
Yeah, and non-emotional coach.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got a question for you.
What's that?
Hypothetical.
Yeah.
So I'm $100,000 in debt, credit card debt. What are you going to tell me?
First I'd ask, what are you paying on your debt?
Yeah, 22. That's what the rate is right now.
Well, can I say a swear word on the radio?
Yeah, I like it when you do that. Yeah, that's great.
Hey, he'll bleep it out.
The initials are DA.
Are you going to tell me to go get another credit card?
Probably not.
Yeah, it's like the last thing you're going to do.
Yeah.
We haven't talked much about the deficit. And I don't know when the last time the budget was even balanced. Was it Clinton, Russ?
Clinton.
He did a pretty good job. Yeah. He balanced the budget.
Yeah.
So that's something that we're, you know, getting a little bit lost in the tariffs and stuff, but I know, and it's not a real popular thing with the Doge and taboo right now. But I'm 30 years ago, bless my dad's heart, he was a smart guy. He said, hey, son, it's not going to be famine. It's not going to be a meteorite. It's not going to be war. It's going to be the deficit that gets us. And he said this 30 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And we have kids. We both have children. You want to leave them saddled with that $100,000 credit card debt and still, it would be a never-ending cycle for me if that's what the case was. So why is the government any different? Why can't they balance their budget and actually start cutting into that?
Well,
that's something he's really working on.
Yeah, sounds like he's working on it. And I think some of the other people around him, even the Congress and that, are getting more serious about it. Eventually,
well, it's a bipartisan thing you can
if they don't, our money's going to be like down in South America where you can take in a wheelbarrow of money and not buy anything. It's going to be diluted.
Yeah, I mean, when GDP won't even keep up with interest, what do you do? Then you're
the other thing that's interesting is I think some of this crypto is kind of checking the government on making sure their money stays stable. Because guess what now? If you don't like the dollar, you can go out other places.
Ah.
I mean, you can always go to like a foreign currency, but then you don't have no control on that either.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the crypto thing is going to keep people in check because those choices now.
And the dollar,
it's almost like sending your kid to one school. The only chance they have is just one school, U.S. dollar.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully it will get better. And it sounds like there's a lot of fat. I mean, just listen to some of the things they're cutting.
Yeah.
Wasted money.
You got to start somewhere.
And it sounds like, when I took my kids to D.C., I don't know, my oldest one was probably 8, 9 years old. He's 27 now and I had all the little kids. And we went to the museums there. They're all free, which was kind of nice. But I told my wife, I said, there's money here. Like, you could tell when there's money in the suburbs. And there's some bad suburbs. But we were kind of driving around. I'm like, I can't believe. Like, it dawned on me, like, this is, like, where all the money gets distributed from our taxes. And just like if you have, like, a leak in a fertilizer, all the grass gets green around that leak.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how D.C. is. It's just like
you can smell the money.
I mean, there's a lot of money in that town. I think they said per capita in the whole United States, that's the richest zip code, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, it is, actually. Maybe there's one other one in California, but that's like the second most expensive zip code is in D.C. area.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
So because that's all feeding out of the trough, George. Mm. So hopefully we can, but let's get back to money. So
let's take our
break here. This is Money Talk, 5-6 a.m.
To enjoy a longer, productive retirement, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management specializes in solid financial advice. Whether you require low volatility, liquid assets, or longer-term investments for higher returns, it's important to discuss your options with a financial advisor. Schedule a consultation with Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management today. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk. Tom Rush, George Davis here. We got the big weekend of Mado. Hopefully everyone go out there. Be a lot of food out there, a lot of cars, entertainment. Speaking of Mado, I'd like to give a shout out if they're listening to my Dateland buddies. They're all out there. They brought in some cars from Dateland, but from Phoenix. But some of the old guys I went to school with out there. Mm-hmm. There's a Dateland crew out there. It's led by Robert Aldridge, called the Turk. His nickname's the Turk.
Oh, his nickname's the Turk.
So if the Turk's listening, hope you guys have fun out there. But
so they bring in some cars, like, from Phoenix and they come here.
His brothers in that are pretty motorheads, so they all have their cars they bring in. They've been coming out here forever, but they love this car show. Like, that's like, it's almost like Christmas for them.
A couple of years ago, I heard some stats, but it's pretty incredible what the Mado started with, the number of cars and how much it's grown.
Yeah, I think the
now,
first one was, like, 60 cars or something.
Something like that, or even, now it's 1,000 plus.
Yep. A lot of it has to do with the weather. I mean, there's not too many places in the United States that hopefully has weather like we have now. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's part of it, the good weather. So, but anyways, the hardest thing, but with our business, there's always changes and there's always laws coming out, IRS changing things. So one of the things we try to do is keep up on the latest changes. And what's funny is, like, a change might happen and we're aware of it, But the typical American might not hear this change in like 5 years from now, or might not connect 5 years from now. So one of the changes that just came out is called the the bonus?
It talks about the catch-up provision when it comes to 401k contributions. Yeah. Super catch-up, they call it.
Yeah, the super catch-up, which just came out January of 25.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's implemented January 25.
Yeah, it just came out.
So explain what that is. I think Russ might be able to take part of this because he's in the right age bracket.
I'm very old.
You know who can take advantage of this?
You?
Yeah.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm going to.
Okay, well, tell the listeners.
Well, I did. I turned in to bump up my contributions, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, tell the listeners.
Especially right now with this volatility, man. Right now, you got to be a buyer and be contributing, Tom.
Yeah.
So in 2025, the what's the contribution limit? 30,000?
It's 30,500.
30,500 for 2025.
If you're over 50.
If you're under 50. That's the regular.
No, if you're over 50, it's 30,500.
Yeah.
And that it's 27. I think it's 27,500 if you're under 50.
If you're 23.5. The catch-up is 7,500.
Okay. Does that add up to
50 to 59?
Okay.
So there's some intervals here where if you're age 50 to 59, normally there's a catch-up provision for over 50, and it's all blankets, over 50, including me and Russ.
Yeah.
And you. But now it's 7,000. It's 7,500 for this year, but 7,000 for last year, 24.
Yeah.
Now, if you're age 60 to 63, that's where you're talking about with this super catch-up provision,
yep.
Then you get to do 11,250 for 2025.
Extra.
So your catch-up, instead of 7,500,
it's 11,000.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so it's not extra. It's on top of
it. But yeah, instead of 7,500, it's almost
11,000.
So that's
4,000 bucks here
take,
huh?
Yeah, so that's about 4,000.
Yeah. Why do you think they did that?
But that's age 60 to 63.
Yeah.
And I'm 59, so I was looking it up because I wanted to know.
December 1st?
I'm 51. I'm 59. Can I do it? And if you turn 60 in this year,
by December 31st, if you're 60, you can do it.
Yeah, if you can do it by this year.
Now, a lot of that is off your paycheck, so you can't just do it at the last moment. At the end of the year, you want to get it set up so it comes off your paycheck.
Comes off your paycheck, yeah. This is 401K, 403Bs.
Wonder why they didn't say if you're – so it's 60 to 63?
Yes.
Wonder why they didn't say if you're 64 to 67, you can put away another – like they should stagger it. So the older you get, you can get to –
Yeah, more. Because the 64 and above – I don't think that includes Russ, but possibly.
I think it does.
That's 7,500. So they just have it just in the area of 60 to 63. They figure that.
Yeah, but my point is, but why not go higher than that? Because some people, if you didn't save enough and you're 64, 65, 66 and still working,
and people are working,
why am I getting discriminated enough? They should have made it 60 plus.
They should have done it 60 plus.
Wish I was in Congress. I would have thrown that out there.
Yeah, I wish you were too.
Well, that would be some common sense ideas. I don't think we can have that. Here's the interesting thing, though, Tom.
Hey, but how many people do you think are taking advantage of that? Because I don't think almost 1% are, if that.
I would even say if that.
Yeah.
So a lot of people don't even know about
it. So listeners out there, if you're between 60 and 63, you can put away an extra $4,000 or so into your retirement accounts.
Mm-hmm.
Go talk to your HR if you can afford it, and have them change your contribution amounts so you can put more money away.
Mm-hmm.
And then what's funny is a lot of people like 3 years from now will be like, oh, did you know there was a rule that you could have done that? And like, yeah, that was like 3-4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone, it's time delay on everything.
The super catch up.
Yeah.
Well, we still get that with people. And I talk to clients where they think that they can contribute, $6,000 or $5,500 to their IRA or their Roth. So,
yeah, when we do our financial planning, cause we plug in all the data, Social Security, how much I'm making, and first meetings, you're like, okay, so are you maxing out your 401k? Oh, yeah, we're maxing it out. Then you look at their numbers, and you're like, okay, you're only putting in like $11,000 a year, but that's what it was like 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So in their mind, they're maxing it out, because when they did it 7 years ago, they were maxing it out. But those limits keep going up. So if you're not on top of it, you're not maxing it out.
Yeah.
So that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of limits, we got April 15th, where you can still put in for your Roth or your IRA for the previous year.
But it's when you file your taxes up to April 15th.
Okay.
So don't file your taxes if you're going to fund an IRA or Roth IRA, mm-hmm. but you have until April 15th to do that.
In 24, that's 7,500.
It's what is it? It didn't go up, so it's 8,000 if you're over 50, and 7,000.
7,000
if you're under
7,500 this year. Yeah,
no, it's they didn't go up, so it's 7,000 if you're under 50, 8,000 if you're above 50
for 2024.
No, for for 24.
Yeah, because you can do up till tax time, like you said.
Now the other thing that they changed with 401ks and some qualified plans for businesses. Is before you had to have paperwork in order by December 31st of that year, you're going to do your taxes. Mm-hmm. So the paperwork had to be in place, and then you can fund it later. But now they even let you extend it. So if you extend your business taxes out past April 15th, get an extension, there you're still able to start a retirement plan for your business. Before you couldn't. If you didn't have paperwork in by December 31st, missed out. So it's a little easier now to fund retirement plans for businesses.
Like a 401k, some
401k, solo
okay.
401k. Some of them you can't, but some of them you mm-hmm. can. So
another interesting tidbit that came out of the Secure Act, Tom, is when it comes to those catch-up contributions that we're talking about in your 401k, next year, not this year, but next year in 2026, your catch-up contribution, the match from the employer has to be Roth. Not the match, but your catch-up has to be Roth.
Yeah.
They don't allow you. They're going to be not allowing you to do the catch-up and have it be traditional 401k.
Pre-tax money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But just the catch-up, though, right?
Just the catch-up, yes.
Is it the full catch-up or the bonus catch-up?
The full.
The full, okay. Mm-hmm. So what that means is the IRS or the Congress did this so they can get tax money right away.
Right.
Yeah.
And they're doing this. And they added the super catch-up, and they said, well, that's going to be Roth. Not this year, but it will start next year.
Which isn't bad. I mean.
No.
So I get asked this question, and I'll throw it out to the listeners and yourself. People read about, the Roth IRAs, and I call them the account, the golden goose account, because any money in Roth 401k or Roth, you pay no tax when it comes out. So it's really the best account to have. It's mm-hmm. best for you. It's best for you if people inherit your account. They don't pay tax on it. So a lot of people come to us and say, hey, and especially retirees, they want to convert pre-tax money to Roth money. And you can, but when you convert it, it becomes taxable. So if you convert $100,000, it just shows $100,000 of income. Mm-hmm. So there will be taxes on it. But the question I get asked, and I'll throw it back at you to see if you pass the test, George,
ooh.
Is when if someone wants to convert money to a Roth IRA from a pre-tax IRA, what criteria would you say you should consider it or not consider it?
Do you have the funds to cover the taxes offset aside in a non-retirement account because you don't want to have the taxes taken out when you do a conversion?
So the first question you're asking is, can you pay, when you convert it, it's income tax,
mm-hmm.
but can you have outside money in a bank account to cover the taxes? Is that
correct.
What you're asking?
Because mm-hmm.
you could always pull the tax money out of the conversion amount, but it's going to clip, you won't put as much money in the Roth. It's not a deal killer, but you would be better off paying taxes on the outside.
Yes,
so that's a question you have.
Well, here's the,
what's
other,
the other
issue
question?
Too, Tom. If you convert and you take that money out to pay the taxes and you're under 59 and a half, that part that you took out gets hit with a 10% penalty. That's a distribution.
Not on conversion, though. Does it?
On the tax part, it does.
I don't think so.
Okay. We'll have to look that one up then.
You want to bet some lunch money?
Let's do lunch again.
Google it right now at our next break. Okay. Lunch.
Big bets.
So, but, here to make sure
hey,
you
but,
you're,
but, the, but the big point, I think, that you haven't brought up yet, not
oh,
to put
well,
you on the spot,
well,
George.
I was trying to get some lunch out of you.
But why would someone want to convert IRA money to Roth money? What would be the benefit? Why would you say that probably
long-term growth, tax-free growth?
Okay, yeah. you hit it, long-term.
You talked about this.
So if you get the rule of 72, say you get a 7% return, divide that in the 72. It's some math guy in the 15th century came up with this. Divide your return in the 72, that's how long to double your money. So if you had a 10% return, divided in 72 is 7.2. Takes you 7.2 years to double your money. So let's just say you get 7% just to be, safer. So you're going to double your money about every 10 years. So if you convert money to a Roth, but you don't keep it in there long enough, it kind of defeats the purpose of a Roth because any of the growth becomes tax-free. Well, if there's no growth, then why do it? So the longer you can keep the money in there, the better off you are. And my opinion, if you can keep it in longer than 10 years, it could be beneficial to convert. So so that's the answer. Mm-hmm. When are you going to touch that
as
money?
As far as duration goes, yeah.
What happens with a lot of people is they have, like, say they have a rollover of $500,000 and, you know, they're going to spend money down because I retired, but they realize, like, $250,000 will last them, like, 10 years, you know. Well, then it might behoove you to take half of that and convert some to the Roth. And you don't have to convert it all at once. You know, you can convert, you can drag money over every year to the Roth. So you can do $20,000 every year, mm-hmm. pay a little tax. So, but anything longer than 10 years, you're probably better off looking at that. The only thing that I see with people who don't like about it is they just don't have the guts to pay the tax. Like, that's a big hang up. That be in a better spot 10 years mm-hmm. from now, have more money and all that. But no one likes to pay Uncle Sam, so that's
a good point. Through strategic planning, you can, let's say you had $100,000 in your IRA. People think, oh, I have to convert all of it. It's all or nothing. It's not. You could do $10,000 over the next 10 years. You know, 20 over the next 5 years, and that way you're taking little bites instead of the whole thing all at once.
Yeah.
As far as the tax burden goes.
Correct.
So.
Yeah. No, you could. You can do it gradually. And if you decide to put on hold where you don't want to do it, or let's just say you show a loss in something. Say you sold something that had a loss. Well, you can convert more over that year because mm-hmm. it was kind of offset by the loss.
I like your explanation, Tom, when it comes to conversion versus contribution. If I was going to contribute $5,000.
Oh, yeah. Hey, we're going to take a break. Let's bring that back because that's a good point. Hey, this is Money Talk, 5, 6 a.m.
Given recent events in the financial markets, doesn't a second opinion make sense for your financial well-being? If you've been questioning your investment plan that you have in place, Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management would like to help by offering a free, no-obligation consultation to review your financial affairs. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk again. Tom Ruetz, George Davis, Yuma and Imperial Valley Wealth Management. Office is up on 16th Street, right next to Smart and Final, across the street from Wells Fargo. We are been in business now for 24 years. Next year will be the big 25th year anniversary, George. What do you have planned for us? Anything?
Taco Tuesday.
I've been there 20 years of that 25.
Well, yeah, so that's what you have planned?
You and I together. I didn't realize you and I together have 50 years experience.
Yeah, last year I did 30.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
big 25-year anniversary. I've got something planned for you, Tom. I can't tell you.
Yeah.
You know, it's got to be a surprise.
Okay, good.
Forced retirement.
Yeah,
I got a big plan for you also, George.
That's a good surprise.
Beat me to the fudge.
So I think the point you were going to make before we took the break is some people say, hey, I can fund $8,000 to my Roth IRA, which is positive. That's a good thing,
yeah,
right?
It is.
But you can say, well, you can fund $8,000 and say it's a brand new Roth. Have $8,000 brand new Roth, or you can convert your IRA account, say $30,000, convert it, and use that $8,000 to pay your tax on it.
Mm-hmm.
So now all of a sudden you have $30,000 in a Roth and not $8,000. Is that what you're going to bring up?
Yeah.
So that's
a lot of sense.
Yeah, but the money's leaving your bank account, but one's giving you a lot more bang for your buck.
Right.
Because the quicker you can get your money in the Roth, then it will grow, and then you cheat the government. Mm-hmm. The other thing about Roth money or even conversion money is try to do it when the market's down. You benefit a lot. So let's just say you did it in July of last year. The market was down like 9%. So let's just say you're going to convert $50,000. Well, if it's down 9%, that means you're down about $4,500. So we convert that money at that point, you're not paying the $4,500 of income tax.
Mm.
So always try to convert or add money to your Roth when the market's down. And it's a guessing game, but if you're patient, you can sometimes get that.
And people get confused with the conversion versus contribution, where you could do both.
Yeah.
But they think if they converted that they've spent that money where they can't contribute anymore. And the other thing is the on the conversion, I can do that any time of year, right, Tom? That's not a certain
December 31st is when you pay the tax. So you can do it January 1st, December. Mm-hmm. Either way, it's tax that year. But, yeah, you have until the end of the year.
Yeah, okay. So I theoretically could contribute for 2024 right now and then still convert even for this year because the conversion would show up on 25.
Yeah, if you had, like, good funds in your bank account, you can do both.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just more money out of your bank account. But, yeah, that'd put you in a better spot.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, anytime – there's not too many things – times the government will allow you not to pay any tax at all, and a Roth IRA is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the other way that you don't pay tax at all, George.
Oh, it's your favorite one, Tom, think outside, the HSA.
No. I mean, that's a good one, but we'll put that off.
Okay.
So how do you – how would you pass on money to your kids and they pay zero tax? How?
I would do gifting. Up to $18,000.
It's 19 now. It's 19, yeah. Well, you could do that, but let's just say you have stocks and you have house.
Okay.
How do they get that with no tax?
Interesting. I'm not sure on that one.
Step up basis. So any property has a step up basis if it's not in a retirement account. It has to be non-retirement. Let's say your parents bought, you know, stock at $10 and now it's $50. Well, the date of death that they die, they take the price of that stock, and that's what the kid's basis is. So your stocks have a step-up basis. Your property has a step-up base. I think most things that are like a hard asset have a step-up base. So a lot of people make
other
them
than your residence.
Well, you can pass on so much free on your residence, but that also has a step-up basis. A house does. But people make the mistake when they are retired and they're like, well, I'm 85 years old and I got this money here and I don't really need it. So you know what? I'm going to sell some stock and give it to my kids. Well, sometimes that's not the right move because if they sell the stock, it's capital gains on selling it. Or if they just kept it in there until the parent passed, then it's no tax and they get it tax free. Step up basis.
Yeah. I like
beautiful,
that.
George.
That is beautiful.
So I don't know if you know this, but I mean, we don't have to talk about it much, but Biden had the idea that if you had property and it went up in 1 year, like say it went up $50,000, they wanted you to pay tax on that even without selling it.
Yeah.
It's a crazy idea.
Yeah.
That would have sunk everything. That
would have been terrible.
Yeah. And how do you, it just doesn't reward you.
An unrealized gain.
Yeah, that's the worst idea ever.
Yeah, then all of a sudden it goes back down 25%. And you're sitting there holding the bag.
You know the other worst idea that when the law came out, I said this is terrible for the people. It already happened, but the old days, if you inherited an IRA from anybody but your spouse, which would say your parents, you can stretch that out over your lifespan. So you know, if a 45-year-old, 50-year-old got inherited IRA. The IRS had that lifespan going out to age like 95 is a long number. But you can stretch that out where you have to pull a minimum amount every year up to age like 95 or whatever the lifespan was. Well, now they've done away with that law. And if you inherit any IRA account, not from your spouse but anybody else, you have to have all the funds out of there within 10 years.
Mm.
And that's terrible because, look, I'm 54 years old. My parents are 82. Let's just say that if they pass and there was some money, well – between 54 and 64 is probably the best earning years I'm going to have. And most people make the most money the last 10, 15 years they work.
Yeah.
So I'm forced now to pay tax on something I don't want.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible idea. Trump's listening. I hope they reverse that thing also. It's not good for the people. I mean,
no, it's not. All those other things you're talking about aren't good for the people. A couple of things, Tom, I want to switch a little bit of gears here and touch on some things that are important that you talked about, the changes that maybe a lot of people don't know about. You probably know about this Social Security Fairness Act, the SSFA that passed. Where
I have that under my pillow.
Repeal of the windfall elimination period.
When I sleep at night, George, I have that under my pillow and it just absorbs in my head. Yes.
I believe it, yeah.
I don't know much about it, so go ahead and talk about it.
Well, in the Social Security Fairness Act, they repealed that. You know how government employees
opt out?
That have their pension and the pension is offset due to them not putting in Social Security over their whole work time.
Correct.
Well, that's repealed.
Yeah.
And that's this year. They're going to start getting millions of Americans. It'll affect millions of Americans, like workers.
So let me just explain what happened. So let's just say you had many jobs before you got your government job, mm-hmm. and you put money away in Social Security for, you know, whatever jobs you had. But when you got into Social Security, you opted to take the pension, not Social Security.
Correct.
Well, that wiped out any money you put in the Social Security. You pretty much got zero from it because you have the pension. So that's saying you can go back and collect on Social Security.
Well, they're going to do it automatically.
Yeah.
They even moved up the timeline for 2025. It sounded like it was going to take a year for the government and Social Security to go back and calculate how much you should have
got. Are they going to retroact it?
Yeah, it's coming out the end of March,
month. But they're retroacting it?
Yeah.
I didn't hear that.
No, they're retroacting it over the last couple of years. So you'll get a lump sum, and then your monthly benefit couldn't. This one couple examples increased by $350 a month.
And but you're not going to get a lump sum.
Yeah.
A lump sum?
You'll get a lump sum also because they're retroacting it for the last year or two.
It sounds like someone, some deep state person made that law before they left office to keep government going. I'm just kidding. Yeah, good
but
for them. Good for them. If they have more money.
Well, yeah, but just to be on the lookout, it is going to be enacted here this month or next. So if you're in that boat, you know, where you
so all the that, all the YPG people, all the government contractor
government
or the government workers.
California school teachers, they had the same thing.
So, but they only get that when they claim Social Security, right? If you're like 59 or 60, you don't get any of that. Is it when you claim it?
It's when you claim it,
yes.
Or if you're already taking it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So retirees that are government workers need to pay attention to that.
Yeah, they do.
You should be getting a check in the mail.
Mm-hmm.
That could be pretty good money if you retired for 15 years and you never took it.
Yeah.
That lump sum could maybe pile up a little bit.
It could pile up.
Yeah.
And the last thing I wanted to touch on is because it's near and dear is, with you and I both in Rotary, you can still make contributions up till tax time for private schools, public schools.
The tax credit?
The tax credit for Arizona State tax credit.
Yeah.
Public schools, private schools, and for qualified charitable organizations.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're looking for an Arizona State tax credit, which is a one-for-one, it's an actual credit, not a reduction,
then
you still have time to do that for nonprofits and
so let me explain how that works real quick. So there's different organizations you can do, which you just said, nonprofit, public school, private school. But let's just say I owe the state, $10,000 because state money. Well, I can stroke a check. I'm just going to say I stroke a check for $2,000, fund one of these. So I got to put money out of my bank account. But then when I file my taxes, I put it in. And that instead of me paying the state that tax, it gets credited towards that tax. So really what you're doing is you're pre-funding the money, but you're using the tax money to you have a say on where you want your money to go.
Yeah, to be more specific, especially if you want to do it locally or something near to your heart.
Yeah, because right now if you have your state tax go to the state of Arizona, as we know, Maricopa gets most of the good stuff. So you have no control on that. If they want to go do something in Phoenix, it's going to happen. So this lets the money stay local.
Right.
Yeah. So how about there's a couple websites that do that. There's yesfunds.org is one of them, YesFunds. And on the website, they have applications. They explain how it works. There's a Diocese of Tucson has another one. They're pretty big.
Yeah.
You can get on their website. Mm-hmm. So there's different ways to do this. But
I just did a Google of Arizona State Tax Credit, and there's an Arizona, it's almost like a IRS site, but it's Arizona State site.
Yeah.
And they have great resources, and then they have a part that says list of qualifying charities, list of qualifying
in the whole
schools
state?
In the whole state. And you click on, there was like 1,206 different charities.
Well, good luck trying to go through that, George.
Well, you hurry and search
it?
Look for
Can you search for like...
Yeah, probably. It's a good point.
Okay.
Like put it in certain counties.
Yeah. I mean, you can say like Yuma Food Bank and it comes
up. Yeah, you can do that. So see if it's kind of a no-brainer. Qualify.
If you have money in your bank account and you can let it sit there for 3-4 months before you get the credit back, I mean, why not do it?
Yeah, I have a friend that's at Yuma Catholic and I'm happy to put some money in and help them.
But the student
think you can do individual.
Yeah, you can.
Or you can.
You can
actually name.
So when you fund that, you can say Yuma Catholic student is Joey Smith or
okay,
whoever.
Okay, you still can do that.
And
they,
that money
goes straight to them. Yep.
Yeah, that's great.
Anyways, everybody go have a fun weekend. Be safe and go out
tomato and
spend some money.
Check out some cars. The count will
be
there.
The Italian's voice in Money Talk with Tom Rush and George
Davis Wells weekend.
Are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine what may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial or tax advisor prior to investing.
This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.
Investment advisory services offered through